Well, we were just talking about this earlier, weren't we? We did Doctor Who, Daleks. Best Dalek stories and best multi-doctor stories.
I like that. What came out as the best Dalek story?
Oh, good question.
I've forgotten.
I never remember what we say anyway.
It'll be one of the Troughton ones that no one's seen.
I think we did best one per era, didn't we?
Did we do an overall?
No, that's right. No, we did best one per era. That's right. Yeah. Best
oh, you didn't do a champion of champions, you cowards.
No, I never thought about it. No, I didn't. But we did for the Doctor one. Yeah, I mean,
It's got to be Day of Remembrance, hasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I do love Remembrance, but I still say, well, this is what we said on the podcast. I really like the original Dead Planet, but is that because it's more of a very good character story for the companion, for the Doctor's team, rather than it is for the antagonists?
It feels like a Flash Gordon-esque diversion.
Yes, and it's great and it's fun for that. And again, the same for Dalek Invasion of Earth. They don't actually appear that much in it, really. You know, you're dealing with the society's collapse and they're making their way through this society than you are actually.
It could be any particular alien race. It could have been the Dravins that had invaded with the Rills and it would have worked. So it's not distinctly Dalek.
Dravin Invasion of Earth.
I think probably for me, it's either Remembrance or, I mean, I still have a lot of love and no one likes it, but Death to the Daleks. It still makes me
love Death to the Daleks.
It's just
If David Maloney directs Death to the Daleks, we're all going, it's amazing.
Because it's fine, because it is about Daleks. You are playing with the Dalek.
It's a what if, isn't it? It's a what if Daleks lost the ability to kill.
And then you see the Daleks having to deal with puzzles with logic. You've got great roots in there. You've got music's fun. Pertwee is actually doing a good job, even though it may be a little automated at times. Sarah Jane Smith's great. It's just a good story.
I think it's the flat direction that spoils it a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, the direction's problematic.
Yeah.
But it's ambitious. And it's fun. I would put Death right up there. I'm not sure I'd say it's the best.
No.
But I'd say it's certainly up there.
If I was going to put a Dalek story on right now, it'd probably be Day of the Daleks, Remembrance of the Daleks, or maybe Add a Stretch, Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways.
I would say it's probably Shearman's Dalek for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the perfect examination of what makes a Dalek. It's probably, you know, Remembrance, I know why you're saying that, but to me it's derivative because you can't watch it really without understanding the however many stories that have come before it.
You maybe need a bit of familiarity. I don't think you need to know everything that's happened. I think you could certainly... I'd have to disagree. I think actually, casting my mind back to 1989, I didn't have any grand recollection of Revelation when I watched Remembrance of the Daleks the first time. And I'll tell you what, I absolutely hated Remembrance of the Daleks when I first watched it because it was too fast.
And I
felt that Doctor was turning into a parody. It was too fast and it was cartoony and it was silly. Now I can recognise the utter genius of how fast it was compared to everything else on TV in those days.
We talked about this the other week, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. You get to that season and suddenly Doctor Who starts doing what Doctor Who's never not just what Doctor Who's never done before, but you don't get that sort of show on BBC. It doesn't really do.
Not outside of Def 2 or whatever the youth slot was on BBC Two at that time.
But there's a sort of speed to the, given that there's nothing else on TV which is doing 20-minute stories by that point, anyway. Apart from soaps, you're getting a totally weird dynamic, a structural of action and as you're saying, content is just utterly different to anything else. And you're getting those great fight scenes, action scenes.
How old were you guys when that came out?
Well, I was born we were born the same year. Or am I just a little bit older than you, Christian?
I'm 75. You're 75.
I'm 75 as well.
So you're older than me. No, you're a few... When's your birthday? October?
October.
Yeah, so you're 2 months older than me.
2 months old, yes. Yeah. So we're the same. So, yeah, so what would we be?
About 14.
13, 14, yeah.
Yeah, okay. which I think is the ideal age to love Remembrance of the Daleks.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now, my favourite, and I've been thinking about this while I talk, I like the two Eric ones because they're so different. So Revelation is, I think, one of the strangest Doctor Who stories ever made, but it's ambitious and intellectual and fascinating and dark. But actually, if I had to pick my favourite, it's probably Resurrection.
Resurrection is brutal.
It's dark and brutal and gritty. Mm. It's a desperate war film, it's a desperate wannabe war film with real consequence. You know, nobody gets out of that alive apart from the Doctor and
his
companion.
It's the Rogue One of Doctor Who.
It is the Rogue One of Doctor Who. And I think, you know, there's a lot in there. I think they get Davros right. The troopers are interesting. I mean, obviously, I've chatted about this with Eric, and I've read the first, 30 pages of his aborted Target novel.
Yeah.
That he was going to do 7-8 years ago. And, you know, if you look at that as the Daleks are really so desperate now that there's so few of them left, that there's only about a dozen of them on that ship, so that's why they need the troopers. That's why when they lose two, when they go through the airlock at the beginning, that they back off and it's a big deal. That's why Davros taking over two is a big deal. It's just a bit rushed, but it's got an energy and a certain brutality which marks it out to me. Because the Daleks are nasty and evil and horrible, and you need to show that and show how humanity has countered that by becoming almost as bad as them, which I guess is what it's about.
It's a shame the amount of Daleks doesn't actually come across in the television show, because when they back off, I think even the characters are saying, why are they backing off, if I recall?
It literally just needs one line. You know, the end of it, when it's just the Dalek Supreme left, it's just the Dalek Supreme. I think he's the only one left on that ship.
Mm.
I think he's sent everything else down to the warehouse, all eight of them or whatever, and it's literally just him on the ship.
Something
but it
I
just
like.
Needs explaining. It just needs contextualising and explaining.
As I said, as a kid, I remember watching as a kid, and things I think I said to Christian, what I liked was the transmat bringing Daleks onto every level, which as a kid, still caught in that trope of stairs and you're safe upstairs. Suddenly, as an 8-year-old, it suddenly seemed they were far more like they could be anywhere. And that sort of really gave gave Daleks a lot more tension again. And then also making the Khalid creature a fucking little vicious thing as well. That
was brilliant. Yeah.
It was a great move. So it did a lot to energize them. I really like Remembrance. And it is, as you say, absolutely terrifying. Terrified my sister with the burning face.
Oh, the burning
gas.
There's
some really hard things in there.
So there's a lot in there that's good. And poor old Eric absolutely hates it. He thinks it's dreadful.
That's a shame.
But then I think he's probably been listening to people a little bit too much who don't like it. I think if you think that Doctor Who should be a bit more like, you know, like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, like intellectual and wandering around and drinking tea and observing things and dealing with mild peril, then I suppose Resurrection of the Daleks is probably as far from that as you can get, and you're going to hate it. But it also equally, people who like Resurrection don't go, oh, you know, I really hate all that season 17 witty stuff, wandering around Paris, drinking tea and quipping. You know, it's possible to like both, but I think if you like that Hitchhikers-esque stuff, you generally hate Resurrection of the Daleks.
But I think Resurrection worked in its period as well, because I think one of the stronger things about Davison's Doctor is that there was a strong vulnerability there. And I remember as a kid feeling as well, after the strength of presence of Baker, who you felt would be very hard to beat, you suddenly had a character who was very soft. They even play on the fact that, you know, there's two times in one season he's almost beheaded. It gives him a sense of that sort of episode where he's a character who is always making things up on the spot. It's very vulnerable, very eager, but it's great for the audience because it feels very oppressive and it makes him seem even smaller. And it heightens, because I think Revelation is almost like Doctor Who's very first Big Finish play. It has that sort of sense. Yeah, I could see that as really being a big finish.
Yeah. It's got great character moments as well. You know, I've chatted with Eric about this, and he's always maintained, he said, well, you know, the criticism that tends to be about Revelation is the Doctor's barely in it, and actually the plot resolves itself without the Doctor doing anything, which is actually more common in Doctor Who than people admit. But Eric said, well, I was told to write it that way because Colin and Nicola were rehearsing to be in their panto when we were filming it. So I only had them half the scenes. That was what John told me to do. That's Eric's. But I like it because it gives the other characters room to breathe. You know, Joe Bell, Tassin Beaker. You know, Jenny Thomason gets a lot of stick for that role, but she's ugly and awkward, and I think she's very believable.
Yeah.
You know. And Davros picks up on that self-loathing and magnifies it.
Yeah.
It's a very, very, very good story. And well realised by Graham Harper. I suppose if the Doctor doesn't turn up, everything still pans out. The rogue Daleks turn up at the end and take Davros away. And the Doctor's a bystander. But I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Do you know what day it is, Gareth?
Is the 2nd of May?
Which means...
pass the dementia test.
Which it means it's 35 years since BBC One began broadcasting CFAX during daytime programme breaks.
Very nice. And did you know yesterday was the anniversary of St. John Nathan Turner leaving this mortal realm?
Yes, I did. I saw that, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, CFAX and J&T. You know, it's a good week.
Yeah.
It's a good week.
Yeah, yeah.
So are we agreed then on what the champion of champion, our own individual champion of champions Dalek story is then? You have to pick one then.
So which are you picking then, Gareth, since you're...
I'm going to stick to my principles and go with Resurrection of Daleks.
You're going with Resurrection.
But notable mention in Dispatches for Rob Shearman's Dalek.
I'm going to go with... oh, God. I'm going to say Day of the Dalek. Day of the Daleks. Yep.
Because I'll go with... I think for me, and to be separate, Remembrance. And I think it's very interesting that Genesis has not come up once.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's... canon has to be defied.
It is pivotal, isn't it? But it's not a great 6 episodes. There's too much padding.
It's too long, overlong. As I said before, the audio, we slip back was actually not bad because it was nicely truncated. But yeah, 6
episodes. It's got some great performances in it,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
But to be fair to Genesis as well, you know, Terry Nation doesn't get as much credit as he should. As you know, he really ups his game, and that's a great script. And then, you know, popular opinion has tended to be, you know, oh, well, that's only good because Bob Holmes rewrote it. And that's nonsense. I remember asking Philip Hinchley for that direct, you know, and I said, how much of that is Terry's? And he said, ooh, that's 90% Terry, at least, with a good Bob Holmes polish, he said, but the guts of it, the mechanics of it, he said the dialogue, actually, he said, that's all Terry.
He's got good dialogue.
It certainly does. I mean, and actually, Davros scene, that two-hander, has been ripped off in virtually every single Davros story ever written.
Especially more recently.
Yeah.
We're quite literally lifted and redone again by Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, that's true. I think the only one who really sort of takes it on a pace is probably Russell in... Parting of the Ways, because he cleverly uses Sarah Jane in there. But yeah, how do
not
you feel about
the ways. Journey's End.
Journey's End, that's it.
Yeah.
Yes. How do we feel about Davros in general? Do we like him? Does he add to the mix? Does he take away from the Daleks, like some people say?
I think Davros on TV needs to develop some of the. Some of his motivations that he's had developed on audio, such as giving up on the Daleks and starting again.
Oh, that would be fun.
As an example, he's, if you boil him down, yeah, exactly, yeah. If you boil him down, he's the Mekon, isn't he? Essentially, he's like instead of sat on a little hoverboard, he's got his travel machine. He's like crippled. He's like got massive brain. Total genius. He sometimes doesn't get used enough, Yeah, I think just some of those things, or, you know, a bit, just doing things away from the Daleks as well would be important for Davros on TV, I think.
I think it's a mistake. People say that he diluted the Daleks or gets in the way of the Daleks. I think that assumes that the Daleks were in a position where they could perpetually keep doing the same story over and over again. I think he does give some sort of rejuvenation. He gives some depth to the idea of the Daleks, because the Daleks on their own are very hard to really, because of who they are, you can't really explore them very deeply without someone on the inside to help you explore them. Other than people making assertions or comments about what they are and who they are, but to have something which can talk about who they are and what they are without it being a Dalek is kind of interesting. But I think Davros is good, because there's two forms of him, as we've said before. You know, there is that original scientist, which is fascinating in his own right, and then he goes to sleep in his very weird electronic field stasis hibernation thing. And after that, well, no, perhaps after the Destiny, he just goes quite mad, and he becomes this large, crazy villain, which in itself is funny, and perhaps does, I don't know, almost feels like two different characters. I'd like to see the two Davros. That would be interesting. The two Davros.
Ooh, the two Davros. Davros.
Yeah, Terry Molloy and whichever of the sort of Michael
Julian Bleach. Julian Bleach.
Or, yeah, Bleach. Yeah, playing that sort of more scientist version. Well, his is more both, isn't it, in some ways, although he looks more like the original, and get them together arguing with each other. And
Bleach is more Hannibal Lecter, isn't he?
Yes.
He's far more restrained and whispery, yes, and is, interesting. Yeah, I think that's a fair point, that you need that you need that insight into the Daleks, because Russell gets away without Davros in his first time because he's got the Emperor doing that job for us. So the Emperor of the Daleks does that job. But it is better. I mean, I very much like when he brings back Davros and he's like the mad relative in the attic. You know, and I think, doesn't he say, describe, he says, you know, what are you doing locked down here? He goes, no, myself and the Dalek Supreme have an arrangement or an accommodation or something.
Yeah.
Where he's sort of almost, it's like the Prime Minister going to see the Queen once a week, I guess. They chat it through. The Queen isn't in charge, but the Queen is an important person who gets consulted. But yeah, you're right. I really like Julian, but I really like the scene in the Moffat one where Davros opens his eyes, which I know is really controversial for some people, but I love it. I just thought it was a shame that then Davros turns out to be an evil pig and it's a trap. I just think Russell would have had him die holding the Doctor's hand with the sun coming up. And I think we would now be talking about that as the greatest Davros scene ever.
Yeah, well, that's where I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible episode in so many ways. I mean, beyond the structure and everything else.
Outside of that two-hander, it's dreadful. Yeah.
And I hate the way that, as like a fan, or as you managed to see on the fan fiction sites, it sort of overly interrogates and disseminates and restructures Genesis in a way you just feel like you don't need to be doing this. So I think you could have done the core, the meat of that story, as you say, is that moment with Davros. Davros is dying and he's reconciling his history, his life, and his relationship with the Doctor. That doesn't need the whole paradox, you know, the whole Hitler grandfather paradox sort of thing.
No.
You don't need any of that. You just put that aside and you could have had a nice 40-minute story which dealt with the fragility of Hitler. Can you get the audience to actually feel for Hitler, essentially?
Yeah, you should have basically just had the Daleks summon him to Skaro because Davros's last day, he's dying, and he wants to make peace with the Doctor. And then, is it a trap? Is it not a trap?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would have been brilliant.
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.